So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our moderator for today, who really doesn't need any introduction, Mr. Marty Blair. He is the Chief Operating Officer and Partner of Star Physical Therapy. He's also the co-chair of the Endowment for the Advancement of Catholic Schools, or EECS, and we'll learn more about that. And he also is the 2017 Catholic Business Professional of the Year. So Marty, please.
Thanks, Steve. I think you missed your calling as a preacher, brother. We've got a treat for you this morning. As I introduce the panelists, if I can get a round of applause for each of them, please. This is what's being referred to as the National Catholic Education Dream Team. That principal from St. Celia Academy, Sister Ann Catherine. Headmaster from Pope John Paul II, Mike Dealey. And the president from Father Ryan, Big Jim McIntyre. Steve left me a note here. It said, get everybody fired up with the introduction. Check. Yeah. By way of background, Catholic education has faced some real challenges in the last 50 years. There's been rising tuition costs, declining enrollment, the migration from Catholic families from the city to the suburbs. All this has posed challenges for Catholic schools, and we've seen a closing of literally hundreds and hundreds of schools. Nashville's been immune from some of that, but it's touched home, especially in the last few years. If Catholic schools were one company and was traded on the stock exchange as a business, your financial analysts would tell you, don't invest in this company. It's had declining performance for years. It needs new management and new operational strategies. And that's what we're here to talk about today. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of the Archdiocese of New York says that Catholic education needs bold and daring initiatives while maintaining our Catholic identity and Catholic core teaching. That's what we're all about. Even in face of all of these challenges, there's been some real success stories for Catholic schools across the country. Probably the best example is our own Archdiocese of Louisville, where the Catholic school system is thriving and flourishing. Luckily, our new bishop, Mark Spalding, is from Louisville. I wish he was here today. Looking in the crowd today, I also see several principals. If you're a principal or involved in Catholic education, would you stand up, please? We'd like to thank you for your service to loving and serving our kids. All right. We've got bios on each of our panelists on the table. I hope you had a chance to review that, but I would like to ask each of the panelists to give us just a little personal tidbit that's not included in your bio that we might find interesting. Sister, would you go first?
I'm Sister Ann Catherine. My biography talks about I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. So although I went to Catholic school, K to 16, I never in 1,000 years thought I would be wearing this getup. Certainly the religious sister thing was not on my radar, but God has a great sense of humor, and he is a God of surprises, and it's been a great gift to me, my own religious vocation. So I'm happy to be representing all the Dominican sisters this morning.
Mike?
My most interesting thing for me sometimes, I have 6 sisters. There were 7 kids in our family. All 7 of us were born within 8 years, obviously very Catholic, and you can tell my dad's tiny with the Navy. And so I always, one of the greatest things we have this photo is that there was a time we were all 7 of us at the same Catholic elementary school there together for that time, and the lineups. And I remember my mom lining us out the door, and Patty, Susie, Chrissy, Missy, Meg, Mike, Katie, and we walked down the age group right down to the St. Charles Borromeo, about a mile away.
Jim.
I don't know what my bio says. I'm a little concerned. I'm not sure if it says this, but I speak Spanish, although Father Cabral would say I don't speak Spanish. But I grew up in Texas, and it's kind of handy on elevators when
yourself, don't talk bad about Jen in Spanish. All right, next question's for you, sister. You're in a unique position of being part of the Dominican Order, which has provided educators and administrators for Catholic schools across the nation and literally across the globe for the last 150 years. With such broad exposure to Catholic education and educators, what do you feel is unique about Nashville, and what has you most excited about teaching this year?
Thank you for that question. First of all, I want to say, if you are not as familiar with the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia, we are Nashville born and bred, so we were founded here in 1860, as you know, as a Catholic school by the second Bishop of Nashville, himself a Dominican, to begin an education for girls. The mission to Catholic education that we have engaged in since that time has gone out beyond the boundaries of Nashville. So we currently serve as Dominican Sisters in close to 50 schools across the country, as well as abroad, about 25 different dioceses. So I think it positions us well to see some of the trends happening nationally in Catholic education, but in fact, across the country. It gives me a great sense of hope, actually. Despite some of the trends that Marty's speaking about, of declining enrollment, which is in fact, of course, a national trend. The height of Catholic schools in 1965, about 5.5 million kids in Catholic schools, now is a flash of 1.9 million. So the decline of religious sisters. But Nashville, obviously, we all know it's a place of great growth, and that's exciting for all of us. It's certainly exciting for you all as business leaders. It should be exciting for us as Catholics. Not only are there Catholics moving in from other parts of the country, but as Catholic schools in this country have so long served the immigrant population, coming from different waves at different times from different parts of the world, so too, especially in the Spanish-speaking world, do we have many Latino families. We want to make sure that they hold on to their Catholic faith, and so that's a great opportunity, I think, for us. You know, Flannery O'Connor talked about the Christ-haunted South, and as a Midwestern girl, when I come to Nashville and come to the South, I am very struck by there is still a disposition among the people for the things of God, a willingness to talk about faith and to talk about Christ. So I think we need to capitalize on that. But as Steve spoke about, there's a lot of re-evangelization that needs to happen. And also, too, I think, like St. Thomas Aquinas talks about grace builds on nature. Nashville is always been known as a very philanthropic city, where there's a lot of, I think people are very generous and they give. And so to get our brand out there for people to see the needs in Catholic education, I think there are many opportunities with that. So I'm very hopeful about all that is happening in the city, and I hope that together we can be a part of that.
That's exciting. Mike or Jim, anything to add about what has you most excited about teaching in Nashville?
I wasn't sure timing, how we do, but I think that's perfect. I have to say that. We're joking. No. Like, ditto, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Don't top sister, no. Next question from Mike. Active Catholic Church participation, mass attendance, baptism, weddings, and stewardship have been on the steady decline since 1970. Accordingly, attendance in Catholic schools is down by almost 40% in that same period. Nashville has not been immune to these challenges, but in your view, what are the greatest challenges facing Catholic education in Nashville today?
Well, I think first, the shift over the last 50 years or 50 plus, a lot has been going from a what Catholicism to a why, meaning that used to be, this is what you do as a Catholic, here's our catechisms, here's how you do it, and there was no question about structures and hierarchy and what we did. And then obviously, relative to our culture, it's not just here in this country, but in other countries where there's Catholic education, there's a shift to why. Why should we send our kids there? Why? Catholics are not doing things because sometimes they go, well, why should we have to go to Mass this Sunday if this is happening? Why should we do that? It's not a lack of love for God or respect. Sometimes it's a sense of I don't want to be constrained by what they see as rules, but not seeing the relationship to the rules of love of God. I think with education, too, there used to be that thing that, when like I mentioned, my whole family, we were baptized. My parents agreed to send our kids to Catholic school, part of that baptism. That's not a thing you see now. But what I do see from my own end, as much as we talk about the numbers, I see some stability or shifts, and I see what you find is that the pockets of Catholicism are moving around, particularly out of urban centers and further out. And so we're adjusting, and sometimes the schools are suffering there. What I do feel is there's an honest transparency and ownership about those challenges in this diocese, having come from another diocese, which would sometimes casually just say, well, we're going to let this school close because we just don't want to figure that one out. I feel here there is a sense that we do talk, and relatively, particularly the elementary schools, which experience the most vulnerability, but I'd argue are the most important part of Catholic education. Because honestly, before the age of 10 is when so many things are wired in kids. And if you're going to do it, you want to get them to St. Joe's or Holy Rosary or St. Edward's or all these other schools, but I recognize you guys showed up. Thank you. And I think where I am optimistic relative not just with our new bishop, but also just in the conversations we have, is that that is an open conversation. There isn't a denial like, well, it will fix itself out, or we're going to keep doing the same thing again and again and somehow work itself out. I think there is an openness to being innovative, creative, collaborative, and that's what does excite me about this diocese. And where I'm very optimistic, I moved my family from a very large Catholic community here because I believe in the potential of this area, and particularly in this Catholic community. Just the fact that we showed up here like this, it doesn't happen in a lot of dioceses. So that's my hope.
Great. Jim, anything to add?
We don't have enough time. No, I think Mike is on point in a lot of his regards. My only concern is this. I think that we have to be careful that there's a peril in optimism. And how many people in this room went to Catholic schools? Okay, so we're speaking to the soul a little bit, right? So you all know the benefit of Catholic schools. But I think that one of the challenges is that while we talk about the growth of Nashville as a whole, we have to kind of dig deeper and kind of understand the realities of what that data is. We have a lot of double income, no children. We have a lot of single people. I mean, we looked at data for Williamson County. The one segment that doesn't grow over the next 5 years are for 13 and 14 year olds, right? It's the single age group that actually has a reduction. So how many people have read Good to Great in here? Raise your hands. Okay, so you'll understand the Stockdale principle, right? Which I'm a huge fan of, which is, James Stockdale was a rear admiral and a POW, and what he did was he says that the POWs that didn't make it were the optimists, people who said I'm going to get out by Christmas, and then Easter would come, and then the next Christmas coming, and they died of a broken heart. And what Stockdale says is that you have to have a complete and absolute faith, committed faith, that you will prevail in the end, no matter your circumstances. And at the same time, you have to have a bold and complete, absolute commitment to recognizing the facts. And the facts are that in the last 10 years, 1,300 schools have closed in the United States, and we've opened 287. That's not sustainable. The fact is that in Nashville, while Protestant school enrollment is growing, Catholic school enrollment is going down. So, you know, I always tend to be the interrupter. I'm always the instigator, so anyone who knows me, I'm always confident. I'm just rarely correct. That's why after listening to me, most people. But I think we have to have bold initiatives. I think Cardinal Dolan's correct. We have to really put our arms around it. We have to be transparent about the realities we face, and that if Catholic schools are to prevail here and we are not to mirror what is going on across the country, we're going to have to work collectively and not individually to make Catholic schools thrive here. We have to ask some questions. I did a survey of about 15 people who were working with Catholic Business League about their propensity to recommend Catholic schools. It's called the Net Promoter Score. How many people are familiar with Net Promoter Score? It's the world's greatest question. So if you don't know about it, look at it. It's a great business tool. Of the 12 people, 10 were passives. These are people who are Catholic, who are involved in the Catholic Business League. And 10 out of 12 were like, McDonald's, Burger King. That's problematic for us. And I think until we start to really talk in a bold way about recognizing what our circumstances are, we really are always going to be optimistic, but optimists die, according to Admiral Stockdale. So I am completely and absolutely, as I know Mike and Sister are, we've dedicated our lives to this ministry. How many people in here represent schools? Raise your hands. not simply about tuition. Because look at the other tuition-driven part of our market, it's increasing. It's about quality, perception, commitment to our faith. This isn't a shame deal, but we have to really be bold in terms of being creative and looking at the landscape if we want to grow. Louisville is 47% Catholic, so I'm grateful that they're growing. It's fantastic. There's a lot to learn from there. But we have got to codify this community, the business community, and get them to understand not just their children's school, but all schools. And until the Catholic community as a whole recognizes the importance of Catholic schools to the future of our church, we will continue to be in a spiral. I hate to be Mr. Doomsday, but that's just the reality. I've been doing this 25 years. It's painful for me. And so I want to take this opportunity to encourage people to actually educate themselves about the awesome things that are going on in Catholic schools. Instead of complaining about what's wrong with Catholic schools, start helping us make what's right about Catholic schools.
Thanks, Jim. Sister, anything else to add on challenges?
I would echo both of you all in terms of, I think, the very real questions of enrollment and finances. You know, just to give you a perspective, tuition nationally and secondary level for Catholic schools is around $10,000, actually below nine something. Okay, all of us, we're above that. And if you look at the wider market and national private schools, there's a big tuition bubble here, so that cannot be sustained forever. But to Jim's point, I think all of the symptoms speak to the deeper thing about, really, it's a crisis of faith. And it's a knowing, to Mike's point also, we need to know and to love and be absolutely committed to the person of Jesus Christ. And until we come into relationship with him, then the school should seem a peripheral thing, a nice thing to do. Yeah, we can recommend this one or that one. No. Schools, the church exists to evangelize. The church exists to spread the saving name of Jesus Christ. There is no better method, no more effective method of evangelization than our Catholic schools. Because the kids don't just come to us one day a week or just here and there. They are with us day in and day out, receiving that formation that, for those of you who are in Catholic schools, it goes down into our fiber in a way that we don't really know fully until we get older. And so I think to really be really intentional disciples, that we know our own faith very well, that our Catholic schools are places of very strong Catholic identity, very strong academics, so that parents don't see this as an either-or proposition, but really I'm not sacrificing anything. I have everything to gain. And that we're really working not only with our kids, but especially I think with their parents, really helping the faith formation, because there are a lot of factors that mitigate against the faith out there. And so I think but as you say, it's hard work day in and day out, a lot of sacrifice, and so a lot of prayer, I think, of being sustained in the Lord.
Oh, that's awesome. You three have sold me. Lucy, we need to adopt some kids and send them to Catholic school.
We've got some time.
All right, next question for Jim. Big picture, which is your specialty here, I would say. Realizing the challenges facing Catholic education are multifactorial, if the possibilities were endless, what are just a few of the things you would do to change your school and Catholic schools in general to be more successful?
So I think it may be the more important question that, if I can just adopt a little bit, which is, what's one thing I would do that costs nothing, right? Because I'd be an idiot to say, I would love $120 million if any of you all happen to have it out there, I'd be happy to take it. So, you know, if that were the single thing, we all need resources, right? From the elementary schools to the high schools, resources. We're operating our schools, even at our tuition cost today, it doesn't cover the cost of educating our kids. And that's really true among the elementary schools. You know, 3 years ago, they did a report nationally about parish schools. And in the South, 47% of Catholic parish schools ran deficits. sure that the resources are available that every student who wants to attend Catholic schools are able to attend Catholic schools. That's the big dream. But that can't just be hope. You know, we say around Ryan a lot of times, hope is not a strategy. So you have to actually take action. So I think that for me is we have to be an interrupter in the marketplace and kind of have to look at the trends that are taking place in private and Catholic education. So online education is growing and becoming more affordable. How do we position ourselves to be in the market, as well as how do we make sure that it's authentically Catholic? For the first time, I think in my career, I don't know about you all, but there's been published the national standards and benchmarks for Catholic and secondary education. In 1971, the USCCB wrote this book called The Teachings Jesus Did. They put out this, and it was really fantastic. And it lasted us 37 years, or something like that. I mean, boy, we're just working at light speed, right? But and then in 08, they reaffirmed, right, that document. But what the University of Chicago, Loyola, Boston College, and Notre Dame are doing relative to the future of Catholic schools is they're being really bold. They're being transparent. And these benchmarks, I think, are something that I'd like to see us all adopt so that there's consistency for our clientele. So as they go from school to school, they understand that this is the basis by which, you know, this is the starting point. Uniquely here for me in Nashville, when I arrived here, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that Catholic schools were excellent. That was surprising to me. Because when you think about the best academic institutions in the United States, if not the world, they're Catholic universities, Catholic high schools. And so it was really surprising to me that I had to sell people on that we were a great academic institution. And it wasn't enough that we were getting 30 million in scholarships, sister, you're getting similar numbers proportionally, all those things, or we're sending kids to Harvard and MIT. So my hope is this, that people will educate themselves before forming an opinion based on prior experience. The schools in Nashville, and my experience, especially in the Southeast, is the Catholic schools are excellent. We need to be committed to our Catholic identity and under no circumstances jettison that. But we also need to be committed to quality governance and leadership, academic excellence, and having an operational vitality that allows us to be sustainable. If you think about our parishes, our parish schools in particular, think about the last time, I think Christ the King may have been the last time there was a significant capital improvement to that school. It's full. So I think that, you know, the marketplace tells us we're gonna have to reinvest. And we can't do that with hope and optimism. People are gonna have to write checks. And I'm kind of bold about that, but that is just the reality. We cannot do that. Although sister, I'm sure, is a wonderful architect and would be more than willing to help me lift that veil and tote that, right? We need the support of the business community first. Once the Catholic community figures out that it should codify its business relationships and support Catholic education, what the result is that you have really high quality employees who not only have the academic and intellectual skills to make your companies run better, they also have the soft skills, which are seriously lacking in the world. Just briefly, long answer, but you asked.
Just for clarity, you never speak briefly.
I'm always confident, rarely correct. I had the opportunity to meet with one of our alums who runs a very large construction company in the Southeast. And while we were talking, he said to me, we were talking about soft skills, he was really educating me about the realities. And you all had similar experiences. And he said, you walk down this hall, there are 10 people who are construction gurus. They are the most educated people that I could absolutely find. Half of them won't be here next year. I said, well, why is that? They don't have the soft skills, which to me means not only the personal skills to interact, they don't have the commitment to a spiritual connection to God that allows them to overcome adversity. I don't know you about most of the people in this room, but when I'm facing adversity, God's the first person I go to. So sister, correct.
all three panelists here. Before you today, you've got 250 members, or a 250 member organization. It looks like most of them are here today. Here's your one chance to speak out to these folks and ask for what you need, the call to action. What do you need from us to help you lead Catholic schools to success? Mike, let's start with you.
Thank you. Honestly, more if you want to come down to it, and yes, I can obviously say the money. I think it's one thing. I think that the bigger challenge is really as a church is being honest about, if we keep reinvesting in the same thing, we're going to get the same result. It's two common things that have been understood out there about education is one, your most important investment in the school is your teachers. And I'm not talking about just certain resumes or certain things. You really have to think about it. And I'm not talking about a money ball type of view of it, but there really is a sense of the teacher. Schools primarily are relational. Catholic schools talk about their history being relational. We always talk about the nostalgia of the sisters, right? But I think it's more about this. Most of you will probably think about that one teacher coach who had that impact on you, either positively or, more importantly, negatively. So I think that the biggest issue you understand, first we have to talk about that's the whole focus is on the teachers. I appreciate being an administrator, but I know the impact. Kids come to school not because of the headmaster. Kids come to the school because of the teachers or the coaches that they're into. Secondly, then, is the structural piece. This is the hardest thing really about us as a church because a lot of our operations, we're still very medieval. It's still a feudal system in some ways of operation. Is that we are trying to run a thing in some ways that's going, can schools be run out of parishes? Is it fair to make a pastor kind of a semi-superintendent on top of the other duties? Is it fair to ask the elementary principals to figure out what they're doing within the resources of that confines? I think if you look at why other private forms of school, other religious, oftentimes they're structured very differently. You know, you may have a K-12 on one site. In San Diego, we had that experience. We had a school near the Tijuana border that was struggling for years and years and years. They made it to K-12. It changed overnight because they used all the same resources. They didn't have to build three admin buildings and three of these. They had this for every level. Those are challenges to how we operate because we have our nostalgia for parish operation. We also have to rethink about basically the structure too. When we talk about it is when we invest, I think things like EADS is broad things, but sometimes the schools have their specific needs. That's a little bit more of a complex one. And honestly, parents want to invest what they want to learn. I always learn that in fundraising. We can try to get it into our annual fund, but more if they like the dance team, they're going to invest in the dance team, right? Or they like science, they're going to put it into the STEM program. But I would say the harder conversations for us is this is the Catholic leadership of the diocese on one level, and it is about the structure. It's about, are we thinking ahead 10 to 20 years from now? Urgently needed, there are a lot of things. Everybody has needs. There isn't a rich school that's well off. They have their own problems. And the competition's hard here. You know, Nashville, one of the unique things you should know relative to the rest of the country for Catholic schools, we don't have the monopoly because of numbers. But you have a lot of private schools. The volume of private schools out here is unbelievable. So some of our bigger competition is there. But I will say this, the shifts that do prove that I've seen here that work at growth, that they see you're investing in the right teachers, they'll come. But also, I think they're thinking about the structures. My last piece for this, within the next couple of years recently, my largest feeder is going to be Catholic kids from one of our Catholic public schools. Right now it's St. Joe's, but I have somebody inching up on that. They're Catholic. Our population's starting to trickle up, which is very unique in Hendersonville, but they're not coming from the Catholic elementaries as much. And CJ's doing great. In fact, that's one of the elementary schools that's growing, you know, but that's also population shifts. But I'll say it, we have to have a serious conversation about our nostalgia for structure of Catholic schools and for the Catholic Church and think of what we're going to need. That's the hard conversation for me, and that will ultimately affect it. You want to put money into something, making sure that we can provide the best teachers, because that will draw people. Kids, you know this. If your kids come home happy because of their teachers, that's the best selling point. We can do all the marketing and other things we want. That's the bigger piece. So those are the things I worry about.
Great. Sister, what can the Catholic Business League do for you?
I would agree to use your expertise to help us think creatively about the structure piece, about the financing and long-term viability piece for the Catholic schools, and really to think of it as a not yet, secondary schools, elementary schools, all of it. And I think always getting the word out. I think if you ask any one of us up here, how do people most hear about your school? Word of mouth, positive word of mouth. And so to know, to keep abreast of what is happening in the Catholic schools and to share the good news. And finally, and probably most see a lot of men in this room. Guys, I think especially right now, you have a huge responsibility. You know, and the women, always do, and perhaps we look too much to them, but I think a time for the men to really set the pace of faith in your families, and then to see, because you're out always in the community too, and to think, how can we connect what I'm doing in my business with what's happening here, with what's happening in our Catholic elementary schools, to find those places of connection, because I think we do look to you and rely on the gifts of all of us working together to help build up the church.
Beautiful. Jim.
So I mentioned earlier a little bit about interrupters, and I think that there is in our Catholic schools world an interrupter, and that's the Crystal Ray School. So one of the things that I would really encourage the Catholic Business League to think about and to educate themselves, we've got some materials about Crystal Ray in the back just to educate yourselves. The Jesuits started Crystal Ray Schools in 1996 to educate students who were marginalized socioeconomically. So if you make more than $55,000 a year annually, they won't accept you. So one of the things that I'm really concerned about is that we've left people behind, right? We left people behind at $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, much less $14,000, $15,000, $17,000. So, you know, there is a large portion of our community that would benefit from having that type of education. There are currently 32 Crystal Ray schools in the United States, not all of them Jesuits, some of them diocesan, and they're doing great work. So that would be one of the hopes that I would have for us to at least have a dialogue about, is how can we make sure that we're educating the totality of Catholics in the diocese. And then the other is to get engaged in the endowment for the advancement of Catholic schools, which I know, Marty, you're very involved in. But endowments are really what create sustainability. So, you know, if you give any of our schools $5,000 this year, we're going to come back and ask you for $6,000 next year. So, because the need is always there. But if we had a really strong endowment that would support primarily the elementary schools, those kids who are marginalized or on the margins, there would be more students in Catholic schools. There is no ministry without margin, in the same way that you operate your businesses. So we have to make sure that we fully fund enrollment, and it's not just about the numbers of students that we have, but to make sure that those students who can't afford it, that the difference between what they can afford, that that's covered. Because we have real people working in our schools who have real mortgages and cars to buy and their own children. So the significant shift over the last 25 years has also been from religious to lay leadership. I think 98% of schools have lay personnel and leadership. And if you think about this, where do you put your priorities individually in terms of your resources? My hope is that the church is one of those top people, but the same that Mike said, in terms of investing, we invest in people. Any of us could move our schools to this location and it would still be our school. St. Cecilia's could operate out of here and it would still be St. Cecilia's because the people involved in St. Cecilia's. So investing in people is an incredibly important thing.
Right. Everybody that had bet on this running longer than 30 minutes, you can cash your winning tickets at the table with Tom Bowles afterwards. We really have run out of time. This has been unbelievably informative and powerful for me. Thank you. Can we get a round of applause for our final panelists, please? One last thing. On your table, there's also a flyer, in addition to the bio on each of our panelists, is a flyer on the Endowment for the Advancement of Catholic Schools. It's a national foundation for Catholic schools. It's grown to almost $4 million. We actually had our inaugural fundraiser last year. We raised over $70,000. In the last 10 years, the endowment has paid out almost $800,000 to Catholic schools, primarily for tuition assistance. Everybody touched on the need of keeping Catholic schools affordable. This is the one of the possible solutions going forward. If you've heard something today that's inspired you to get involved with Catholic schools, I would encourage you to come talk to me or Betty Lou or Steve about the EECS program. We would love to have you, and we'd love to have your energy. We'd also invite your feedback on today's program. If you would, talk with Steve or any other board of directors to see if there's something you want, possibly as an annual deal, and even more possibly involving some of our elementary principals next year. Again, thank you, our panelists. God bless, and go Catholic.